here tonight, please turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we're continuing on this series of assurance of salvation, assurance of salvation. Here tonight, I want to preach to you on the witness of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, reading from verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the Spirit do mind the things... they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Father, we do pray again tonight. Father, such wonderful truths and things. Lord God, those that are born again, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit, who indwells us, who fills us, who leads us, who guides us, who preserves us, Lord God, I do ask that you teach us here tonight. And Lord God, I do pray that the real Holy Spirit would be in this room seeking, O God, to regenerate, to save, to renew, to bring an assurance of salvation. My God, where would I be without a genuine work of the Holy Spirit? Just help us here tonight by your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Reading again verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Notice this, verse 16, this is our text. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me read that again. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. My message here tonight is the witness of the Spirit. When you come to deal with this thing, assurance of salvation, or knowing that you're truly saved, born of God, made right with God, in a right relationship with God. There's three things that you look for, or you look to be sure, or to question yourself, am I saved? Do I have the assurance of salvation? Or how do I get assurance of salvation? Now listen to me, there's three things you look to. First of all, you look to faith in the Word of God. What the Bible teaches, you believe it. Now, that faith in the Word of God brings an assurance to your heart. But secondly, there's something else. And don't separate these three things. Never separate them. Look at the three of them together. Secondly, look at what the Bible teaches about the lifestyle and the character of a Christian. In other words, a changed life. So first of all, it is a faith of believing in what Jesus done on the cross. We believe it by faith. That brings assurance. But secondly, we look at the changed life. We see that God has changed us, that we are not what we used to be. But there's a third thing. And again, you've got to put these together. The third thing is what we're going to teach on tonight, and we've mentioned it before at the beginning of this series, and it's the witness of the Spirit. The witness of the Spirit. Never separate these things. Some people say, I've got the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows me I'm saved. And yet if I look at their life and look at the Bible, I go, no, your life doesn't match up with what the Bible says. You may say you've got the witness of the Spirit in you. But why is it the fruit of the Spirit isn't there? Why is it your life hasn't been changed? How can you say God has shown you? Or I believe the Holy Spirit's revealed that I'm a child. We cannot say that if we do not have the fruit that the Bible shows, a changed life. And you know what? It's not good enough to have morality and to say, well, I try to be good and I try to love people and I try to keep the commandments. Whenever you haven't put faith in the blood of Jesus alone, faith in the finished work of the cross. If I ask you tonight, why are you saved? I want to know what you're going to say. Are you saved because you put faith in the blood? Has the blood washed away your sin? Do you have an experience of what the Bible says? So these three things, never separate them. And I'm going to say this again in this series in the weeks to come. But these three things, we look at all three. We don't just look for the witness of the Spirit and say, oh, I believe I have the witness of the Spirit, and ignore the other two. Don't do that. This is one of three things that reveal to you you have the assurance of the Spirit. Here tonight, I'm going to deal with the witness of the Spirit. In verse 16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. We're looking at the witness of the Holy Spirit. A few weeks ago, or maybe several weeks ago now, Brother Soph preached from Genesis on Eliezer being sent out to a foreign land, a different nation, to seek for a bride for Isaac. In that story, we have Abraham the father sending Eliezer the servant to get a bride for Isaac the son. Now, so very clearly and powerfully described Eliezer as a type of believer or preacher. But let me add something to that. Let me just say here tonight, Eliezer is a type of the Holy Spirit. God the Father sends God the Holy Spirit out into the world to find a bride for his son Jesus Christ. If you look at Genesis 27 with that typology, you will see something beautiful. And this is what I want to say here tonight. We're talking about the witness of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you realize in Genesis that Eliezer, as a picture of the Holy Spirit, he goes out into a foreign land. The Father has sent him. And he's sitting by the well of salvation, which is the Word of God. And he is searching, waiting, looking for a bride for the Son of the Father. He is there waiting, searching, and seeking after a bride. And he finds her. Her name was Rebecca. She is a picture of the bride of Christ, the real church. That's who Rebecca is. But this is what I want to say, and I want you to notice this. Now, we heard in those messages how Eliezer went into the tent of her father and sat and stayed there that night. And listen to what it says in Genesis of what Eliezer did. Because remember with that story, you're asking a young lady to come follow you and to make a journey with you. You, Eliezer, the servant of the father, seeking a bride for the son, you're going to make this journey with the bride. The son doesn't make the journey. The father doesn't make the journey. It is the servant who makes the journey. It is the job of the servant to take the bride from that foreign land and to bring her to the son. It's his job. And notice what a job he has. He's got to convince her to leave her home. He's got to convince her to leave her family. He's got to convince her to leave her old life and all of her associates and all of her comforts. And do you know what it says in Genesis? Listen carefully here. It says the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and he gave them to Rebecca. Notice here, right at the very beginning, when he first has this encounter with Rebecca, and Rebecca is willing to make this journey, and she wants to become the bride, and she wants to go to where the son is, and she wants to enter into a marriage covenant with the son, that Eliezer actually has to give her gifts right at the beginning of the journey to convince her, to persuade her, because he cannot give her the son at the minute. You see, she's not going to see the son with her eye. She's not going to hear the words of the son. It is Eliezer saying, do you know he's beautiful? Do you know he actually delivers messages and says, man, you are going to love him. Do you know what he is like? Do you know what he has for you? And it is Eliezer personally speaks to Rebecca, speaks to the bride of Christ, and speaks to you. You see, I haven't seen Jesus. I want to tell you tonight, I have not seen him with my eye. I have not touched him with my hand. I have not heard his audible voice. And yet I stand here as a preacher. I'm fully convinced who he is. I'm fully convinced of the Son. And you know what? The Holy Spirit revealed unto me, actually revealed things concerning Christ. Notice he gave to Rebecca jewels of silver. He brings forth these gifts at the beginning of the journey and says, you know what? This is from the Son. The Father gave me this, and this is only a token of what you're going to inherit in the Son. Do you realize I've come to bring you to the Son? I'm here to help you. You don't know how to get there. You don't know how to find him. You don't know what he looks like. You don't know anything. But I am here as a messenger, a servant, and I'm very faithful, and you know what? I'll never leave you until you get there. I'll never leave your side. I'm going to direct you, because only I can take you to the Son and to the Father. Only I have a commission, and I'm going to be very faithful. And so he gives to Rebecca before they get on the camel. Do you know what? That's going to be a long journey. And if ever you've read on a camel before, and I've done it twice, there isn't another creature on the face of the earth like a camel. It is the most unique animal on the face of the earth, I assure you. I'm glad I was born in the West and not in the East because of that. But it's going to be a bumpy journey. There's going to be a lot of discomfort. She's going to travel through regions and suffer things that she never thought or imagined. But here is Eliezer saying, look, here are jewels of silver, and here are jewels of gold, and here is a brand new raiment. Do you know what all of this was for? To stir up her heart. The raiment is not Isaac. The jewels are not Isaac or the father. But all of these things are to stir up the heart, to draw you so you leave everything behind and you make this journey here tonight. I do believe that these jewels and these jewels of silver and of gold, just one of them is the assurance of salvation. You see, I believe that Eliezer gave to Rebecca an assurance at the beginning of this journey. She wasn't setting out on a journey saying, I hope this Eliezer isn't a fraud. I hope I'm not being deceived. I hope that this isn't just a mirage. I hope this is real. I believe before she got on that camel, she was utterly convinced, oh, there's much she doesn't know. Oh, she doesn't know the father or the son. She only knows him through the servant. But there is such a desire. She is utterly convinced concerning this before she gets on the camel. And every Christian, you need the assurance of the salvation at the beginning. It's like one of these jewelries of gold or silver. It's given to you to help you on the journey. How terrible a journey would be is after traveling many days or many weeks you go, I wonder if it's real. Maybe he's leading me astray. Maybe I'm not going to get there. Maybe the guy looks ugly when I'm going to get there. Maybe I'll get off the camel and wish I'd never started at the beginning. There are a thousand thoughts. So these jewels and this raiment is to settle the heart and to make the journey with. I want you to make the journey of the Christian life with the jewels of assurance. And I believe the Holy Spirit, when he comes to you at the beginning, he offers you jewels and he offers you assurance and he offers you new garments. And you know what he's doing? He says, I want to take you to the Son. I want to reveal the Son to you. And all through this journey, I'm going to speak about him and talk about his love. And talk about his wealth. And talk about your future together. And I can just imagine her all the way on that journey, on that camel going up and down. Her asking those questions here tonight. And dealing with the witness of the Spirit. The witness of the Spirit. First of all, Romans 8 verse 9. The indwelling of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, living in you, abiding in you. Look what it says in verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now notice here it talks about the Spirit of God dwelling in you. I'm not talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Don't confuse these. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is to give you power to be a witness, to open your mouth, to speak about Jesus Christ. But the indwelling of the Spirit is something totally different. You see, only those who have the Spirit in them go on to seek for the Holy Spirit to come on them in power. It says you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Either you're in the flesh or you are in the Spirit. And notice what it means to be in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwell within you. That word dwell means he lives within you. He abides within you. He's made you his very home. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. There are some who teach and they say you only get the Holy Spirit and the baptism and the Holy Ghost. And those who have not been filled with the Holy Spirit or spoken in tongues do not have the Spirit. That is not true. Do you realize you're not born again? You're not a Christian. You're not saved if the Holy Spirit does not dwell in you. Here, Paul writing, he says, concerning the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And if the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, then you're none of His. You don't belong to Christ. In other words, only when the Holy Spirit abides with you do you know that you belong to Jesus or you're a member of His body. Listen to what it says in John chapter 7, 38. And this is Jesus when He was with the disciples prophesying about the future. He says in verse 38, He that believeth on Me, as the scripture has said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's speaking about the future and He says, everyone who believes in Me, who puts faith in Me, in My sacrifice on the cross, those who come and place their trust in Me alone for salvation. Notice what happens. Every real Christian, every born-again Christian, all those who believe in Jesus alone, what happens to them? Jesus said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Notice this river, that it flows out of the belly, out of the innermost parts of your being. It doesn't say it flows out of heaven. It actually says it flows out of your belly. What is this river that flows out of your belly? What is it? Is it your experience? No. Is it your spirit? No. What is this river that flows out? Notice the next verse says, but this spake He, Christ, of the Spirit. What is the river? It is the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. As soon as you believe in Christ, you receive the Spirit. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. All those who believe in Christ receive the Holy Spirit. He dwells within them. Now notice this. It says, all those who believe in Him, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. What are these rivers of living water? It is the Holy Spirit, not just one river. Notice this. It says rivers of living water. What a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit is that out of Him flows rivers. This talks about abundance. In other words, the source isn't you of the Christian life. The Christian life isn't lived by your strength. It is the person of the Holy Spirit. How are you going to make this bumpy journey on the camel? How are you going to find Christ? How do you know that you're going to get there? You know, it is by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And you know what? He dwells within you. He dwells within you. Think of the power of that word for a moment. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Verse 11, we also read this twice about the Spirit dwelling within you. It's a remarkable statement. He's not in heaven. The Holy Spirit isn't just in heaven. He is actually here now, dwelling within you, literally. We always say, well, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but He dwells in our hearts. Yes, spiritually. But the real Holy Spirit is here. He's not in heaven. He's on the earth. This is His realm of ministry, and He is dwelling in the real Christian. And how do you know He's dwelling in you? There is rivers of living water. You see, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. When He dwells in you, rivers are going to flow out of where? Out of your belly. What is the belly? Is it talking about the physical belly? No, it's not. Now, I tell you what, most of you stick in your belly. There isn't going to come rivers out of that. It'll be none but bad health. Those who put milkshakes and stickies and all the bad stuff of the day in, I assure you, you're going to reap it in your body. It's not talking about that belly. When it talks about the belly here, it's talking about the deepest part of your innermost being. It's talking about something spiritual within you. Notice again what it says, the Spirit that beareth witness with our spirit. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Within you, in your actual spirit. He is dwelling within you. And notice that the Holy Spirit in you is the source of all these rivers. The assurance of the salvation is not found in you. It is found in the Holy Spirit. One of these rivers that flow by the Holy Spirit is the assurance of salvation. You know that you're saved. It's absolutely settled. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, He makes you His temple. You weren't a temple before, but when you get born again, your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we had a building. Now we actually have the Holy Spirit dwelling within a person. He makes that inner part of you, your belly or your spirit, He makes it a holy, sacred place. He makes it His house. And He said, if any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy. In other words, your body now belongs to God. If the Holy Spirit really is in you, He says your physical body now belongs to God. And if you pollute your body with sin, God will destroy that temple, that physical body. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Or listen, 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? And you have to say that because there's a lot of Christians don't know it. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. You used to belong to yourself. You could do anything with yourself. But when you got born again and put faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you and He says, new management, there's a new boss here. This now isn't your body anymore. Oh yes, it is your body, but this is now my temple. You're now holy unto God. This is my house where I live and dwell. And if you play around, you can't go and join that body to a harlot. You can't go and join that body to idolatry and a false religion. That body now belongs to God. Why? The Holy Spirit lives there. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, and ye are not your own, for ye have been bought by a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Notice here, you've been bought by a price. What was the price? The blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, you know what? He bought you. Not just your spirit, but your body as well. Some people, they're all spiritual in their spirit. And they say, oh, I'm saved in spirit, but my body still carries on in sin. That is false teaching. Do you see here, when the Holy Spirit dwells in you, it's your spirit and your body you're to glorify God with. You can't say that you're saved in spirit in the inner part of your belly, but your body carries on in sin. You know what the Bible says? If you were a real convert, God Himself would destroy your body and the temple. Remember the man in Corinthians? Remember that man who was committing fornication? He had believed in Christ. He was a brother. He was walking with God. But then he went out and committed fornication and was living in sexual sin. Do you remember him? And you remember in Corinthians how they talked about handing him over to the devil for the destruction of his body in order that he might be saved? Do you realize there's a real dealing of God here? You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't have sovereign rights over your life. You know what? You're better going out into the world. If you want to, I make my decisions and I'll do what I'll do and I can keep carrying on in sin, but yet I have the Holy Spirit. No, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. One of the marks that the Holy Spirit is in you is a changed life. And that your body suddenly becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. That means it's a permanent abode. He doesn't come and go. He isn't there in a meeting and then he disappears in the morning. Do you know what? When you're in a meeting and you feel his presence, and then you're at home in the trials and you feel nothing. We don't say, oh, the Holy Spirit's left me, or I've got to get the Spirit back again. Oh, I love Jesus, but the Spirit has left me. I don't feel him, and he's not guiding me, and I don't feel his power. No, he hasn't. He is the abiding Spirit. He dwells with you. The word dwell means to come and make his house, or his home. In other words, I'm here to stay. I'm here to take you to the sun. I'm here for your entire earthly journey. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon certain men and only a few women. But usually men, he would come for a special time, in a special way, and then he would move back again. The Spirit of God would lift off them. But in the New Testament, it's not that. He comes to live within us. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What if you tell me, oh, I have the Spirit, and you carry on sinning, and you love this world, and you don't go to church, and you don't believe what the Bible says. I have the Spirit guides me, he witnesses to my heart. No, hold on a minute. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, if the mark of the Holy Spirit is not in your life, you do not belong to Jesus Christ. You see, I know somebody where the Holy Spirit dwells. If you're not acting like the Holy Spirit's dwelling in you, don't tell me that you've got the assurance of salvation. Oh, but I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. Then why are you acting as if you're not a temple of the Holy Spirit? You see, the Bible says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. If you have not the Spirit, if you do not have the mark of him living in you, if you don't have proof and evidence that the Spirit is in you, if I cannot see that the Holy Spirit is working in your life, there's something wrong. If you're not a child of God, then you're a child of the devil. If it's not the Spirit of God in you, then it's the spirit of this world. The same spirit that works in the sons of disobedience, the children of wrath. It's one or the other. Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you tonight? Are you born again? Have you been bought by a price? Are your sins washed? If you're born again, the Holy Spirit's in you, and he comes to live a different life actually within you. Notice here, don't separate Christ and the Spirit. They go together. If the Spirit is in you, you belong to Christ. If you belong to Christ, then the Spirit is within you. Don't separate what God has put together. Now, it's the first point here tonight. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you're only saved a day, or you're very immature, or you're very weak. The Holy Spirit's in you if you're really born again. So the indwelling Spirit, he comes to live in you. Do you know who the Spirit is? He is God. He is God the Spirit. There's God the Son and God the Father. He is God the Spirit. He's not a power. He's not an influence. He's not a feeling. He is an actual person who comes to live in you. He's as real as Eliezer, who came for Rebecca and led her right back to the son Isaac. But secondly, the witness of the Spirit. Let me explain, what is this witness of the Holy Spirit? If the Holy Spirit isn't in you, you don't have a witness of the Spirit. First, you've got to have the Holy Spirit living in you. If he comes to live in you, he's going to begin giving you jewels of silver and jewels of gold, a new raiment, new clothes to wear. That's what he does at the beginning of the journey. So when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, there's certain things he gives at the beginning. One of them is the witness of the Spirit. He dwells within you. One of the gifts he gives on the first day of the journey is the witness of the Spirit. Look at verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What a wonderful thing here. The Spirit itself, if He dwells in you, He bears witness with your spirit, not your body, not your mind, not your feelings, not your emotions, but with your spirit. Do you realize you could be deceived if you're trying to feel something? I want to feel if I'm saved. You'll get deceived. You'll get it wrong. I want to understand with my natural mind. Let me try to work it out. That isn't how the witness of the Spirit works. You see, it goes to your spirit. Look what it says. The Spirit itself beareth witness. This person who's come to live in you beareth witness with your spirit. This word witness, or beareth witness, is a very important word. Listen to what it means. It means to testify jointly, or to cooperate, or to give evidence, or to prove to you. That's what the witness of the Spirit is. What is the witness of the Holy Spirit? It's Him living in you. And He actually testifies. In other words, He's speaking, He's saying, yes, you're saved. He actually is witnessing with your spirit. Or He's in union with your own spirit. So you used to be dead outside of Christ. Your spirit was dead. It was in darkness. You couldn't see God. You couldn't hear God. You couldn't live for God. Your spirit was dead. Sin killed you. That's why it says about Adam and Eve, you eat of that tree, you will die. No, we didn't die. We're still alive. Yes, you died spiritually. Instantly you died spiritually. Then one day you'll die physically. That's the result of sin. That was the result of sin. But notice here, when you're born again, your spirit is alive. It's alive unto God. And the Holy Spirit now testifies, gives evidence. That's what the Holy Spirit does within you. He starts giving you proof. He starts showing you. He starts testifying to you. The first day, He starts saying you're a child of God. He convinces you. And I know some are slower than others. And some are more fearful than others. And you could be born again. And you could have a mind filled with doubts and fears. You could even have a witness in your spirit where you go, I know I'm saved. Yet you have a mind filled with doubts. And you have emotions that are all stirred up and scared. And yet in your spirit, the Holy Spirit's saying, you are a child of God. Notice this, He doesn't witness outwardly. He's inside of you. He's not trying to communicate this to your outward eyes, or ears, or body. It's not a voice that you hear. You're not there trying to feel this witness of the Spirit. Don't do that. Don't seek after that. Just make sure the Holy Spirit lives in you. Make sure you're born again. And the Holy Spirit living in you, one of His great works, and He's got many great works. This is one of His great works. He is proving to you that you're a child. Do you know He wants to prove to you that you're a child of God? If you're not a child of God, He wants to show you you're not. Say, mm-mm, you're not mine. You're outside, but I do want to come in. I want to bring you to Christ. I want to save you. I want to bring you to where Rebecca is. Will you go with this man? Are you willing to allow the Holy Spirit to start a work in your life? Conviction of sin, separation from this world, bringing you out from your family, cutting off the old life, all of that. On a new journey. You see, the witness of the Spirit. There is someone who lives in you when you're a Christian. And He is determined to convince you. And to persuade you. Not from the outside in. But from the inside out. That's where He begins, is on the inside. He settles your spirit. You're born again. You're a child of God. Now let's start dealing with this mind of yours. With all those thoughts. And let's start dealing with the emotions. And let's start dealing with that body, and bring that body into line with everything else. It says in 1 John chapter 4, 13, hereby we know that we dwell in Him, that is Christ, and He, that is Christ, dwells in us. How do you know that? See, sitting here tonight, if I ask you, how do you know Christ lives in you and that you live in Christ? How do you know? Do you feel it? Do you see it? Are you going to convince me? I just feel he dwells in me. I just believe that Jesus dwells in me. Notice what it says in 1 John. It says, we know this, that he dwells in us and we dwell in him. Listen, because he hath given us his Spirit. How do I know tonight? I know I'm in Christ. Hold on, I've never seen it. I've never seen myself in a vision in Christ. How do I know I'm in Christ? And then all the blessings of that are mine. Or how do I know that Christ is in me? I haven't felt him pumping in my heart. Neither have I had a vision of Jesus living in me. I've had none of that. How do I know it's true? Because the Spirit because he hath given us the Spirit. If the Spirit's on you, the Holy Spirit's going to start saying, do you know Christ is in you? And do you know that you are in Christ? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Do you know this is why the Father sent the Spirit? This is why. This is the reason. To actually settle your heart, to convince you, and then to bring you on this journey. It also says in 1 John 5, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, the same witness. If you believe in God, you have the witness in yourself, not outside yourself, it's in you. When you put faith in Christ, you get this witness. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You know, it says in John 15:26, and this is Jesus speaking, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, listen to this, he shall testify of me. So this is Christ saying, do you know what? The Father is sending the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to testify all about me. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, and this is Christ promising, when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he's going to begin testing. He's not only going to say, you're saved, you're a child of God. Oh, it's bigger than that. Do you know what he's going to do when he lives within you? He's going to testify. He's going to bring proof and evidence about Jesus Christ. He's going to speak about Jesus. He won't, what did Jesus say? When the Holy Spirit comes, he won't speak about himself. You ever met anyone, all they do is talk about themselves? It's boring. It's boring. You know, you go, man, when's this person going to get a life? Do you know how you know the real Holy Spirit? He doesn't exalt himself. He just keeps talking to you about Christ. He wants to reveal Christ. He wants to show you Christ. He will witness. Do you know, you need evidence about Christ. Do you need evidence and proof to show you or to settle your heart about Christ? Do you know where you get it? From the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been sent to do that. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 10, a very interesting scripture, and verse 14 and verse 15. Listen to this. For by one offering, talking about the death of Jesus on the cross, for by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Then listen the next verse. So this is Hebrews 10 is all about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. He died once for sinners. He provided the sacrifice. He died for your sins. Now listen to the next verse, verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. Then he says, verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And he goes on talking. Do you realize it's the Holy Spirit? How do you know the blood was shed for you? How do you know your sins are forgiven? How do you know that you're in a covenant with God? Do you know the Holy Spirit was sent to live in you, to be in you, and to witness these things, to reveal them, or to prove them to you? You have a person living in you if you're born again. And he has come to do that. Thirdly, the Spirit of sonship. The Spirit of sonship. Look at verse 15 again. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And notice verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Notice those who have this witness of the Spirit. Look at the verse before it, verse 15. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. He's saying this Holy Spirit is not a spirit of bondage. He doesn't bind you. He doesn't make you a slave or bring you into terrible bondage of slavery and of burdens. The real Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He's not making you a prisoner. He's come to give you freedom and to set you free and to release you into a walk with God. He doesn't want you there going, I don't know if God loves me or not. That's bondage. I don't know if I'm good enough. That's bondage. I'm not sure I'm ready to meet God if I die tonight. That's bondage. That's the fear of bondage. That's a terrible place to be. It says in Hebrews 2 verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's what you are. See tonight, if you're not born again, you are in bondage. You're under the fear of death. You're in a terrible condition. You cannot be good enough. You cannot be righteous enough. You cannot be free of your sins. If you're not washed in the blood of Jesus, what a terrible position you are. Look at verse 2 of this chapter. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice that this law of the Spirit of death makes you free. It's a law. It's got a power. It works in a certain way. The Holy Spirit operates by a law to bring you into the life of Christ. Oh, I'm not under law. Which law do you mean? I've heard people say, I'm not under law. I'm under grace. Therefore, I can live a sinful life. That is dangerous. Do you realize when the Holy Spirit is working in you and when Christ has saved you, we can truly say for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and of death. You see, it's talking about law. Trying to serve God. I'm trying to be good enough. I'm trying to believe. I'm trying to keep the commandments. And some escape that and say, I'm under grace. And yet they still live like they've never had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. You see, either you're in the spirit of bondage tonight, or the Holy Spirit is in you saying you've been adopted. Look at it. It says, we have not received the spirit of bondage, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. This is one of the names of the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of adoption. What is adoption? You weren't a child. You're outside the family. You have no rights. You know, some of you, well, there's a lot of young rascals in this city. Well, they're born into it. Go, I've got rights. I want mommy to feed me, daddy to pay all the bills. I'll throw my stuff on the floor. Mommy's going to pick it up. She'll wash. She'll do it all. And I just enjoy it all. That isn't an adoption. That's someone born into the family who think they have all of these rights. You know, when you're adopted, you're outside of the families. And by the way, I don't agree with some young guy doing that. But with adoption, you're outside. You've got no rights. No liberty, no expectation. You don't belong to the family. But notice the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Adoption. What is adoption? You are brought into a family that wasn't yours. You are brought into a relationship with a father who was a stranger to you. You see, that father chose you. He wasn't dumped with you because he had you. No, he has chosen you. You see, there's a beautiful thing about adoption. If I was to adopt a child, I've chosen to do that. It's not biology. It's not just the way things operate. I have made a conscious decision, and I've looked at a child and said, you're a stranger. I shouldn't give you anything, but I'm bringing you into my family. I make a decision. I want to do this. I bring you into my family. I adopt you. Now you're my son. Now you're my child. Now you receive of all I have. Now you enjoy my home. And do you know what? I will leave you with an inheritance. You see, either you're under the spirit of bondage, trying to serve God, trying to be good, trying to do the right thing, and yet you're outside of Christ. But when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, he witnesses with your spirit and he says, you're a child, and I want to reveal the Son unto you. But he does something else. He brings the Spirit of Adoption. There's the Spirit of Adoption. He is the Spirit of Adoption. He, when he lives in you, he reveals to you, do you know who your father is? Do you know who your father is? He chose you before there was an earth. He chose you before there were planets, or there was creation, or a galaxy. He actually looked at you and he chose you. You are adopted into the family of God. The Holy Spirit brings you into a new family. He brings you into a relationship with the Father. He draws you away from your previous life. How do you know that you have received the Spirit of Adoption? The next sentence says, whereby we cry, Abba Father. How do you know the Spirit of Adoption's in you? You actually cry out. It's within you. You're not doing this legalistically. Oh, now I've got to call. Now I can call him Abba Father. Now I should call him Father. No. When the Spirit of Adoption comes within you, he is witnessing to you. You cry out and say, Abba Father. Daddy, Father. This is a very intimate term. It's a term that you can only say when you're in the family and you're in the household of God and you're a member and you're enjoying his love and you're enjoying his acceptance and you're enjoying his blessing. That's when you start crying out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are children. We're no longer under a spirit of bondage. We've been set free. You're set free from the guilt of condemnation. You're set free from years of sin. You're set free from the fear of hell. You're set free from this effort of striving to be good enough and righteous enough. It says in Galatians 4 and 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In other words, the Holy Spirit cries it out. You cry it out. There's a unity here. There's a union where the Spirit is saying, Abba, Father, within you. It's a part of your Christian life. And you become a child of God. How many times have you heard in our world, sure, we're all children of God. Yeah. That's what gets says. You know, even in today's born again church, say, but sure, we're all children of God. No, we're not. No, we're not. The Bible nowhere says all nations are the children of God. No, they're all his creation. And he loves them all. He loves every sinner. But they're not his children. And believe me, a stranger and a child you treat differently. Notice here, this adoption makes you a child. You're not half a child. You're not just an adoptee. When you come into this family, and you know, if you're really born again, you're adopted. There's only one thoroughbred in this household, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the only authentic born one. All of us are adopted into the family. Oh, I don't like that. Well, tough on you, I tell you. I want to enter into all the blessings. You see, the Holy Spirit who indwells you, who witnesses with your spirit, is the spirit of sonship or the spirit of adoption. Fourthly and lastly here, heirs with Christ. Look at verse 17 again. And if children, if you become a child of God, if you're born of God, then heirs. Notice here, as soon as you become a child, as soon as you're adopted, as soon as you're born again, as soon as the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your heart, then you become an heir. You cannot be a child without an heir or an inheritance. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What's it talking about? It's talking about whatever the Father has, it now becomes yours by inheritance. What's an inheritance? When the person dies, it comes to you. Or you're going to receive it at a future stage. Not yet. You're in the home. You're in the house of the Father. You're enjoying all the blessings. But you know what? It's not yours yet. It hasn't been handed over. There's going to be an inheritance. And it says, if you're a child, you become an heir. You actually become an heir. In other words, everything that the Father has becomes yours. And let me say it more clearly. Everything that is Christ's is going to become yours. Two things it says there. Heirs of God. Do you realize by being born again things? I'm telling you the most simple truths and yet the most powerful. You are a child of God. You're an heir of God. Not of man, not of church, not of religion. You become an heir of God. What belongs to God is going to come to you. Do you understand that here tonight? When the Holy Spirit comes in you and you're crying out, Abba Father, all that is His becomes yours. By divine right and inheritance, you're an heir to all the Father has. He won't deny you one thing. Listen to me here as we close. God the Father won't deny you if you're really born again. Oh, but is it true? What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen in ages to come? Oh, I have trials in this life. I know you have trials. I know you have troubles, but listen to me. You become an heir of all that God has. And what else does it say? And joint heirs with Christ. Whatsoever God the Father gives to the Son is also going to be given to you. Do you hear me tonight as we close? Whatsoever the Father gives to the Son, you become a joint heir. What is Christ going to inherit? Glory? Then you will receive glory. Did He receive a resurrected body? Did He receive fellowship with the Father? All the love, all the blessing accepted in the Beloved. Do you realize you're a co-heir with Jesus? Everything Jesus gets, you are going to get. If you're an heir, if the spirit of adoption actually is in you. No, it says in 1 Corinthians 2, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that I might know what's been given, that I might be convinced of what's been given. Since this inheritance is not for now, not for here. And it says in Ephesians, in whom ye also trusted, and that ye heard, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the spirit of promise. Now the spirit of adoption is called the spirit of promise. What does that mean? When the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, He says, I'm the promise of something else. I'm only here, like Eliezer, to get you through this journey. I am the promise. I am God's promise. Do you know what the witness of the Spirit is? It's God's amen. 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 When the Holy Spirit comes, He is the Spirit of promise in. I promise you, there is so much more than you see, than you have ever experienced. There is more than an entire lifetime. All that journey through the wilderness to get to Israel, to get to Isaac. Man, the journey isn't long enough. I know it feels long. I know it feels bumpy. I know you're asking sometimes, are we ever going to get there? This journey is not long enough to convey to you all that's been stored up for you, the glory of it, the majesty of it, the fullness of it. This lifetime of ours isn't even long enough. I have to keep preaching here. I can preach every night of the week for 3 hours every night. And you're saying, I know you could, I know. And yet I still wouldn't convey to you. I wouldn't be able to show you the fullness of this. But listen, it says, ye are sealed. That means you've received a stamp, a mark upon you that you're genuine, that you're owned by God, a mark of security to preserve you, a stamp to show you you're a child of God. You have been sealed, marked by the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Notice that earnest of our inheritance. What does the word earnest mean? Means a pledge, a down payment, a foretaste, the assurance of what is yet to come. This Holy Spirit, He's not only the indwelling Spirit. He's not only the witnessing Spirit saying, you're saved. He's not only the Spirit of adoption, but He's the one revealing that you're an heir with Christ. He has sealed you and marked you as a child of God. And all through this journey, He's saying, I am the earnest. I am the pledge. I am the promise. I am the foretaste. And you know what? You ain't experienced anything yet. Not one of you in this room has even begun to enter into or to see or to understand since, like Rebecca of old. Thank God you preached that series. Such a wonderful series on Rebecca. And on that journey, she has an earnest. Eliezer, are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. Here, take some more jewelry. Here's a few more trinkets. Here's a nice necklace. Then she got a bit down the road. Are you sure? Yeah, let me give you another garment. And it's from the master. Man, look at all of this. And all it is to say, there is awaiting you at the end of this earthly journey, something that you can't even imagine. Only the Holy Spirit of God can reveal it. Let's stand together here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you.